The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
We are 24 hours away from Auburn Tiger football in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Friday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Welcome in here on the Friday edition, the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Trip Upton. Christian Griffin will be with us shortly. He's getting things ready to go as Lee Scott will be traveling up to Huntsville, and him and Caleb Robertson will be alongside them. So getting ready, making sure everything is good for him to head up to Rocket City later this afternoon. But he'll be with us at 2:30, as well as to finish off the rest of the show, give you our college football picks of the weekend, our week one pick'em, as well as recapping last night's game with some games that you want to recap with UMass and Rutgers, a scare for Buffalo, and then games we have to recap, such as what happened in Atlanta. But I'm not worried about that game in Atlanta. I'm worried about tomorrow's game in Atlanta between the Auburn Tigers and the Baylor Bears. We give our projections, our picks, what we want to see, and our score predictions for both. Again, I'm Trip Upton here with you on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines will be closed today as it's chaotic a little bit trying to get us ready. We want to be able to give you guys what you want to hear. So phone line will be closed, but the Send Medicine text box is always open at 334-784-1685. The text box brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting Send Medicine. That's SENNmedicine.com. And so we'll be able to give you that, and you guys will be able to respond in there. Phone lines will be closed because we'll be heading to the phone lines here to start out the show with Lee Sterling coming back, his first time since the Super Bowl, to get you ready for what's going on in the betting world. If you partake in that, I know it's illegal in Alabama, but just like Jeff Goldblum says, nature always finds a way. So what we're going to do, this is going to be kind of weird, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to call Lee Sterling because I'm the only one in the studio right now. I can't do two things at once. I don't want to talk. You do not want to hear me talk to you while I'm on the phone. So I'm going to play a commercial, and you guys are going to find out what's going on with our ESPN Live Events Minute and what you can hear on this very network starting tomorrow here on ESPN 106.7. Let's check it out.
ESPN 106.7 is Auburn Opelika's home for live sports.
Hey everybody, this is Trip Upton from On the Line. Here is your weekly live events minute for the Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Starting on Saturday, college football is officially back. The Clemson Tigers travel to Baton Rouge to play LSU in the battle of who is the real Death Valley. Live broadcast coverage of the game will begin at 6 p.m. Then, week one of college football rolls on with other matchups throughout the weekend. On Sunday, the Louisville Cardinals will make their opening trip down to Nashville to take on the Ole Miss Rebels. Radio broadcast of the game will start at 6 p.m. Then on Wednesday the night, toe meets leather in the NFL. Last year's Super Bowl rematch will begin between the Patriots and the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Coverage will begin at 5:30 p.m. All that and more coming up here this week on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Boom, there we go. Here's what's going on the network. Get some live college football games on ESPN 106.7 here in the Auburn Opelika area. But we turn now to the phone lines to talk to a man, one of the best gambling experts in the sport. It's Lee Sterling here joining us on the phone lines. Lee, how excited are you that college football, it's already kicked off a little bit last night and last weekend, but we're fully in there as well.
Yeah, so This is great. This is what it's all about. I mean, this the reason college, and I like NFL too, but college football, if anyone told you last year that Indiana was going to play Miami for the championship, they're lying to you. No one, not one person did I hear. So I tune out all these people making prognostications, who's going to make it to the college football playoffs, who are the top 10 quarterbacks, top 10 coaches. To me, it means nothing. Just got to study, enjoy it, and let it all play out.
All right, Lee. So you got your five games that you've basically patented, and you've done the research to let the people know what they need to be expecting. What's the first game that's got on your list that you're loving?
First game is going to be Ole Miss in Louisville. Ole Miss is laying 6.5 here in this game. And, you know, Jeff Brohm had one great game. Everyone remembers the Miami game. And, I mean, he had 2 weeks to prepare, came up with about 20, 25 new plays Miami had never seen, and they pulled the upset. But what did they do the rest of that year and the last couple of years? Well, they were 4-9 against the spread. They were not very good other than the Miami game. I know he's a great mind on offense, but he's going to try to pull the upset against Ole Miss with a backup quarterback at Ohio State, a running back, Isaac Brown, who's very talented, but probably not 100%. They say he's going to play, but he's like a China doll. He gets nicked up all the time. But the difference here, everyone's talking about, you know, obviously Trinidad Chambliss, maybe the best quarterback in the country. Kewon Lacy, maybe the best running back in college football. But I think the biggest additions for this team, maybe on a top team, are Ole Miss's two new linebackers. They had Perkins, one of the best linebackers, number four, but they had two guys that ended up moving on to the NFL. And Luke Farrelly comes over from Cal. I think he had a cup of coffee with Clemson his freshman year before he left. And Keaton Thomas, a linebacker from Baylor. These two guys combined for 210 tackles last year.
Wow.
So that was their weakness. They were having trouble with the stretch running play, covering running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. And I think these two guys are incredible. I mean, relentless defensive linebackers. So I just like what Ole Miss is doing here. They might take some injuries by week 4 or 5, but not this early. I like Ole Miss. I think they pull away 36-23.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports going with the Rebels to win pretty handily in Nashville, in Music City, to kick off on Sunday night for the college football season. Lee, let's move to the next game. What else do you have for us?
Next game is Alabama against East Carolina. Alabama playing 27.5, and Alabama did not finish the season all strong. I mean, you know, it looked like they had a nice they were going to be able to play with Indiana first series or two and just got blown out. And I think they've got, you know, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, ranked some polls as low as like 13. And I think they chose the right quarterback in Keaton Russell. I think a dual threat quarterback, and even the backup Austin Mack, when they put him in against lower level teams, he's going to show out also. So I would maybe consider East Carolina if they returned a lot of their lineup, but they lost their quarterback. Caden Hauser, he transferred to Illinois. Their offensive coordinator went to Ole Miss. Defensive coordinator went to South Florida. So I think the Tide's going to run the football here, start developing that again. I love their front seven. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Roll Tide here. I hate to say it, but I think Alabama wins this game easy. 45-10.
Lee, you got to have a jump scare warning if you're going to say that on Auburn radio. I think
sorry, you
probably just caused a couple of traffic jams down in downtown Auburn, picking the Tide to roll over Eastern Carolina. Lee, we move on to the third game. You have anything that maybe like an upset or something that people need to watch out for?
Yeah, it's one of the games that, like I said, no one is looking at. Sometimes you look at these, you know, high profile games, but one of the games I think that we might have an upset alert is going to be taking place tomorrow. And what's one of those games? Well, it's going to be Arkansas State. Arkansas State getting double-digit points against Memphis. Memphis coming off a statement game. Coach Huff said, you know, they're here to stay. And, you know, why is this line only at like 10 points here? So people think that teams playing in week zero have this huge advantage the next week. Not the case. 19-52 straight up, 28-43 against the spread. That's 39%. So Arkansas State might be laying in the weeds here. I like Arkansas State. Maybe to keep it close, pull the upset. Another game I like, I think Clemson, Dabo might, he might have an expiration time on his time here at Clemson. So way underrated talent for LSU. I think LSU is going to be very good on offense, where they weren't last year, couldn't run the football, only 104 rushing yards per game. Clemson, they might play two quarterbacks here. Dabo says he named a starter, but said, hey, we might go with two guys. Their defensive line lost four or five starters. He reminds me, Dabo, of John Harbaugh, really good quarterback for a number, coach for a number of years, but got to the point where his message just got old. And look at John Harbaugh. He moves on to the Giants. He's reinvigorated. So I know he'd love to finish up strong and maybe move on to Alabama or somewhere else, but I just don't see it happening here. I think Sam Leavitt, who's healthy again, going to do a number here on Clemson here. I think they pull away 30-17.
Lee Sterling riding with both the Arkansas State Red Wolves and the Clemson Tigers. I'm sure a lot of people around college football are rooting for Clemson outside of Columbia, South Carolina, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, given Lane Kiffin's villainy across college football. Lee, one last one for you. The one that people are tuning in to hear, Auburn, Baylor. What's your read on this prime matchup taking place just up I-85 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Well, I thought Auburn, I had them last year, was going to come out like a house on fire, and they did. Probably one of their best performances of the last 4 or 5 years in the game against Baylor. This is a big game for Dave Aranda. I know it is for Auburn, too, but if he wants to have any chance to keep his job, he's got to show well here or pull the upset. So I think he's going to work overtime here. Now, you know, I was a big fan of Byron Brown, and you know, he led him some big upsets, but in the two big games against Miami and Florida, good runner, but his passing, I think he's a little inconsistent. We'll see how he's improved there. They only totaled 30 points in those two games combined. I think DJ Lagway, the former Florida quarterback, now the starter of Baylor, under the radar. He was only maybe 75-80% last year, and they were trying to protect him. He's finally healthy again, so I think that the tactical advantage here is for Baylor. You know, it's not like they have to play at Auburn. The game is in Atlanta. Auburn will have more fans. But I don't think there is much of a talent difference as most people in the line would indicate. I don't know if they can upset them, but I think Auburn wins the game 31-27. But 7.5 points seems like a little high, and kind of reminds me of the game last night, also that Georgia Tech-Colorado game, where the discrepancy in talent being perceived as one team a lot more than the other isn't that much. So we'll go with Auburn to win 31-27. I think Baylor might be the right side plus 7.5 points here.
Lee Sterling, the man who looks at the numbers so you don't have to, and the only number that you need to worry about is that winning percentage and that some cold hard cash. Plug it all, my friend. Where can the people keep up with you and get the great information that you've got to share?
Well, this is what I'm going to do. I don't want them to buy anything today. If they have ever followed me or you'd like some more information, I'm going to give away, get this, 3 free selections for tonight. All you need to do is go to ParamountSports.com. I have 3 selections I like. When you go to ParamountSports.com, where it says join our mailing list, just fill that out, and we are going to give you 3 free selections for tonight. We'll email them to you within 20 to 30 minutes. So I just know if I win for people, they're going to want to come back and join me. And it's a great feeling, you know, when you can win on a consistent basis. We've won 32 of the last 33 years. I'm a former college quarterback. This is all I do. Use my real name. When you go to the website, you can check on recent results. See every game I've given my clients over the last 5 years. So ParamountSports.com. Click on join our mailing list. Just fill that out. We'll send you 3 free college football selections for tonight. So have some fun. Let's win for you. And maybe you'll join Paramount Sports in the future.
Lee Sterling, the man. He's just trying to help you win, and that is what he does oh so well. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll be able to talk soon and continue, hopefully, after Auburn is able to pick up a big win, just like you said, in Atlanta.
Sounds good. Take care.
That's Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, the man with the numbers, the man with the plan that's going to help you win some cold, hard cash. We're going to take a little bit of an early break. I guess I'm going to take a little bit of an early break here as Christian continues to make his way to the studio to be able to get this Free-for-All Friday truly kicked off here today. We'll continue on here on the Free-for-All Friday edition of On the Line right after this, so stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Almost pressed Christian's mic right there, assuming he'd always be there. Just kind of the flow that I have to do this, because I run the board for us. I know this is the Tuesday or Friday edition of On the Line. Goodness. I almost pressed Christian's button, assuming he was about to talk, and then I pressed realize, oh, wait, I have to turn mine on. As Christian is on his way, going to be joining us in the studio for the rest of the show. Next break, getting everything ready as Lee Scott Academy travels up to Huntsville to take on Randolph School in their region opener, trying to get win number one of the Jacob Osmond era and hoping to bounce back from a loss last week against Locha Poca and the Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week, Raekwon Butler. You'll be able to listen to them on AU 100.3, auhits.com, as well as the Radio Alabama app. They'll be able to watch the game on the Lee Scott Sports Network YouTube channel. And so continuing on here, I'm Trip Upton, if you didn't already know that. Continuing here on the Friday show, we just had Lee Sterling on, gave you his picks. Now, I don't agree with, you know, Baylor covering that 7.5, but, I mean, he is the expert, so at least he said Auburn's going to win. That's the plus here. That's what I'm taking away from that. I am pushing away any negative energy and focusing on Auburn's win. And we're going to be able to break down this game a little bit later on this season, or later on this show, rather, to be able to get you through what's going on here as we continue the countdown to Mercedes-Benz. And speaking of countdown, there's going to be some team captains on this team. And it's going to be some guys that Auburn fans know pretty well. It's guys that are leaders on this team. You know, we talked to Coach Alex Golish in the media availability last week, and he told us, he said, I don't have to name permanent captains right now. We need people to step up. And a lot of that, and as more that I thought about it, was the pushing his guys to be able to be better and be better leaders. You can never have too many leaders, so you're always going to want more. But they did name the weekly captains this week for the Auburn Tigers. Champ Anthony, Cole Best, Byron Brown, Cade Carlson, and Elijah Melendez are going to be the guys that are going to be wearing the quote-unquote C patch on their jerseys. And I really like that. I like Byron. I knew that we always kind of knew that he was going to be that one of those guys for the offense after you've heard stories of him coming in to this team, and that he's always either the first one in the facility or the last one in the facility. Him and Coach Alex Golish kind of trade that area of expertise, but that's a guy that's going to need to be the figurehead of your offense, the figurehead of your program. And so having him as a captain this week representing the Tigers in his first game in the orange and blue navy is just phenomenal for what they're going to do there. I'm really happy to see Elijah Melendez as a guy that's been named a team captain. This is a guy that I remember when he flipped from Miami coming here, had a solid first couple years, and people was like, okay, maybe he's going to be one of those guys that leaves during the mass transfer exodus last season, but he stayed. As a guy that is one of the returners on this team, he made it count, and he is going to be a guy that I'm really happy to see is wearing that number C patch on Saturday. Cole Best, another transfer from USF, kind of manning that offensive line. I'm sure Specter will be happy to hear there is an offensive line representative, although he probably would want all five linemen to be captains, knowing what Specter likes to believe about that. Cade Carlson is an interesting one, and maybe someone that might surprise you if you're not plugged into this program, but Cade is a guy, he's on the defensive side, he's a special teamer, he's a sophomore, recorded one tackle his freshman year, and then played on special teams all 12 games. And so what this means to me is that this is a guy that Auburn needs to have, because it shows that they care about the special teams. What's been the one problem with this team the past couple years? Among many, play calling, offensive aggressiveness, locker room culture. But special teams was one that I really focused on. You had good kickers. Mr. Alex McPherson, when he was healthy, was one of the best kickers and still is one of the best kickers in the country. You had Oscar Chapman or Hudson Cock, who are two really good punters. And then you had some solid return people, Rayshon Pleasant, and then you have guys on kickoff coverage. But the problem is it wasn't one cohesive unit. You saw penalties every single time Auburn would kick the ball off. And when people would ask Coach about it, Coach Freeze would say, oh, I don't know, we just got to get better about it. Then get better. Don't say you're going to get better. That's what Alex Golish is trying to do, that to limit those penalties, limit the blocked kicks, limit the flag when you're punting, the dropped punts. That's what he's going to do. And having a guy represent that in Cade Carlson is going to be really, really important. And then Champ Anthony, the Pirate, is the guy that's really been a vocal leader, one of the guys that went down to SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, and really turned a lot of heads. A lot of people talking very highly of Champ, a guy that's going to be playing a little bit of corner, a little bit of safety, a little bit of that linebacker role as well. He's going to be all over the field. And that's what DJ Durkin wants from Champ, is a guy that can plug and play anywhere on the defense and really make an impact on what they're going to be doing in 2026. Looking as well, just seeing some other news as we get close to our bottom of the hour break, where Christian Griffin will be joining us in studio and getting you ready for Toe Meets Leather in Atlanta, as well as Toe Meets Leather both at Randolph School and, as I forgot to mention earlier, the Crampton Bowl, where I'll be heading after the show with Jack Hutton, voice of the Auburn High Tigers, Carson Meyer of Weagle and the Auburn High Sports Network joining us on the call. Myself, I'll be not maybe doing some sideline, but being able to fill you in with stats, the Franklin Tire and Auto scoreboard updates, as well as your pregame Auburn Bank starting lineups, among other things, halftime, postgame. I try and do as much as I can in those broadcasts, but being able to do that, we'll be heading down to kickoff region play with the Auburn High Tigers in Crampton Bowl against Carver Montgomery. You'll be able to find that on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and that Radio Alabama app for your radio broadcast. If you want some video, we're going to have the awesome video production of Auburn High Mass Media joining us down there as well. We're going to have Dylan Podemski and Ethan Compton as our video experts, and they're going to be running the camera for you guys so that you can get a live look in Crampton Bowl to be able to watch the Auburn High Tigers kickoff region play against Carver Montgomery, the Wolverines, a good team. You know, I know I did a little bit of a preview on Wednesday and then talked to Coach Keith Etheridge on Thursday on the line. If you have not listened to those kind of interviews or what's going on with there, if you're an Auburn High Tiger fan, I highly recommend you go do that. Tune in. It's on our podcast channel at ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your audio podcasts. I have people listen from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, listen on our websites as well. It's a great way to catch up. Even if you only get us in the car for 15 minutes on your drive home, you can listen to the other hour and 45 minutes of the show. We condense it down to about an hour and a half. And so you're able to listen and catch up with what we're talking about here on the line. So I highly recommend, if you're an Auburn High Tiger fan, go do that and go tune in to what's going on there. And so we will be able to talk a lot about that game, talk a lot about hopefully Lee Scott's game up in Huntsville on Monday, but we're going to have to fit it in between some Auburn Tiger football talk. And so we're excited. Auburn High, Auburn University, Auburn Lee Scott Warriors, all of that we'll cover on Monday when we get back. So exciting times here on ESPN 106.7. Looking at some week one games here in a minute, I just want to go ahead and preface it saying, I know Georgia Tech lost. I understand. And we'll talk about it. Christian has told me I'm not allowed to talk about it on the radio until he gets here, because he wants to see me crash out, is kind of what we were able to watch a little bit of the game last night together. And so it is not great, but hopefully, you know, Auburn, the team that matters a little bit more, can pick up the slack there and give us a win so that we're all happy on Monday. And you know what? Make it up for the Upton family. Had some family out there, and I know they were a little frustrated with the result, but again, I'm not going to talk about the game until Christian gets here, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be totally okay. And we're also not going to talk about LSU. Christian and I have a conversation about that, or we're going to have a conversation. He says that he doesn't want the LSU talk, just really directing me from the car, Christian, so that you can talk about what you want to talk about. But it's okay. You know what? We don't have to follow the rundown that I made this morning. We can just do whatever we want to do. Your name's on the show just as much as I am, but it's okay. It's okay. Also, Clemson notified LSU. This is breaking news. Speaking of LSU, Clemson notified LSU that their game on Saturday could breach the game contract if a former professional player could play in the game, per Ross Dellinger. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that with Christian, but he said wait until he gets here. He'll have something to say about this. But wow, that's interesting. That's breaking news, people. So hopefully we get a game on Saturday. We'll see, but that doesn't matter. That's the fake Tigers. The real Tigers kick off at 2:30 on Friday. Or Saturday here on you'll be able to catch it on Wings 94.3 as well. So tune in there. Be able to watch it on TV. If you're not going to Atlanta, me and Christian will be down there, so we're super excited. But it's finally time, guys. Let's recap week one on Thursday. And yes, we'll talk some Georgia Tech football here on ESPN 106.7. Stick with us. It's the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
30 minutes in here on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Man, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. You finally feel like game week is here. I know we've been dissecting all of game week with week one, recapping week zero, but does it not feel like it's finally almost game day? And that's the best part about it. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, having a good time here in the studio. Appreciate Trip for being able to talk with Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com, being able to go through his picks of the week, as well as kind of giving a little update on what this weekend is going to look like on the family of radio stations, on the high school side of things, on the college side of things. And now we are able to dive into some of last night. And Trip, I know that we talked a little bit about this, and I would like to kind of make a pact with you, if you're okay with that.
Depends what kind of pact we're talking about here, but what's going on, man?
It's appropriate, and it's on the radio, but
okay.
We have talked so much about Lane Kiffin and LSU and the drama that goes on with that.
Okay.
We'll mention it real fast, okay? Here we go. The SEC was going to sue LSU.
Correct.
LSU then basically was like, okay, cool, do something about it. Court judge now near Baton Rouge granted eligibility for the two players that they're trying to receive.
Yes.
They have up until midnight tonight to be placed on rosters. If that will be the case, then we'll see what the SEC and LSU decides to go from there. But right now, those players are available to play, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, nobody really knows anything. We don't know what the repercussions would be. We don't know what the punishments of what would it look like. Okay, if he plays week one, but he can't play week two, what would that look like for week one? We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree here on this Friday afternoon, because it'll be brought back up on Monday, I'm sure, can we enjoy college football and talk about college football today?
Sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I know that last night during the game we were watching, they kept cutting out of the like halftime and other stuff to show like, hey, this just happened. This is breaking news. But
almost made me as sick as like, is Aaron Judge going to hit number 62? It's like, I don't care. Again, I understand it's history, but can we not give Lane Kiffin and LSU the drama and the attention that they're acting as if they deserve? Can we talk pageantry of college football today?
Look, the next time I want to talk about LSU is when they their result to Clemson on Monday.
I love it. There we go. Just wanted to make that. Again, whether that's sports talk radio and the way that it should be, I don't know. But we talk so much about it, and we've gotten so many texts throughout the week of, man, somebody used the word apathy of college football right now. And it's like, man, I agree. And it's because of everything that goes on. So last night was awesome. tonight's going to be awesome. Saturday is going to be awesome. Sunday is going to be awesome. We're going to be back on here on Monday to be able to dissect all of those games. And then there's another game on Monday night on Labor Day. And so let's talk the beauty of college football.
Let's do it.
Here this afternoon. Let's fire people up rather than burning everybody down. Last night was incredible. Want to be able to dive into some of those contests. And we start with Utah, and they roll. Morgan Scaly's debut. Devon Dampierre absolutely shines, 66-14, and Dampierre played like 18 minutes of football and was like, all right, cool, I'm good. I don't really need to do anything else. Utah, again, a sleeper pick, I think. I have them making my college football playoff.
I mean, I really like Dampierre, and I think that Scaly did well. Idaho is not a team that, yes, they're an FCS team, but they're not a bad FCS team. They started the season 0-2, first losing to Cal Poly on just like a crazy last-second touchdown. And then now you lose to Utah. I mean, I think they're still a good team. I wouldn't be surprised if they're like an FCS quarterfinalist or something. But, I mean, Utah looking good. I'd be very curious to see when the Hogs come into town next week if that environment continues to be electric.
What an awesome game that is. Again, we talked yesterday about how week two, the slate itself is better than week one. The idea that you have Arkansas going to Utah in like an 11:45 p.m. kick, because why not? What a fantastic problem that is to have. Missouri, Austin Simmons, nearly perfect on the night. Congratulations to those that had faith in the Pine Bluff of the 56.5-point spread or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Missouri's still comfortable, 54-14, and Austin Simmons goes 17 of 19, throws for 252 and four touchdowns. And again, 26 points in the second quarter, taking advantage of a couple of turnovers. Missouri did what they were supposed to do.
They did their job.
I think they're in a perfect spot right now of, yep, we won by 40 and nobody's really talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri, I mean, that's another team in Arkansas Pine Bluff, but they're not as good as Idaho was.
No.
But looking at what they were able to do last night, just being a SEC team taking care of business. Okay, you don't cover the spread. I really don't care. I will, though. Can I put a flag of concern?
Sure.
Into the world right here, looking at the box score for this game.
Is it that second category under the Missouri logo?
Mm-hmm. Jamal Roberts, only 47 yards. Is that a concern to you that they didn't run the ball as well as you'd probably like them to?
Not necessarily. I mean, again, you run it 45 times for 205 yards, and a half a pop, three touchdowns. Also looking at it, the Golden Lions didn't turn the ball over. Missouri just took advantage in the second quarter. To be honest, I didn't watch a snap of this.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I was concerned.
We are true box score viewers. I make fun of the box score viewers, but well, I am.
We only had one TV last night. We'll get to that game. We'll get to that game.
We will, in fact, get to that game.
But hey, Zyshawn Edwards, Preston Hatfield, Anthony Favreau, Matt Zollers, all up over 20 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. All of them had at least four carries. I honestly think that while I'm concerned that there wasn't like that lead back, this was definitely the, okay, Jamal Roberts is RB2. Who's RB3?
Yeah.
You know, because Zollers at quarterback as well. I think he had a solid game up behind Austin Simmons, but I mean, good for the people that believe in Austin Simmons, 252 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, Doug Amos, I know, is going nuts right now talking about how this was his guy coming into the season.
Yeah, Southpaw was slinging it in Como last night. I want to skip one game if we're working our way through chronological order. UCF ties a program high in scoring. They win 73-6 over Bethune-Cookman. Alonzo Barnett, again, one of those guys that I remembered myself last night. It's like, oh, yeah. He's at UCF, and Bounce House was rocking, had a lot of opportunities to lose their mind if they so chose. Absolutely dominated that contest. I don't know if there's a true secondary thought behind that other than
good for Scott Frost, I guess. I mean, I'd love to see the last time UCF. I mean, obviously they tie the program record or set the program record with 73 points, but like, do it against a team with a pulse.
Yeah. Duke Watson had a good night, though. 7 carries, 110 yards. Touchdown in there as well. Had a 64-yard run. UCF ran it 38 times for 360 yards. That's 9.5 a carry for 7 touchdowns. And so usually when you see 73 points, you're like, okay, man, quarterback threw it for 400. And it's like, no, they just dominated the run game. And
good for them.
Bethune-Cookman just could not tackle in open space, which, again, you can still make explosive plays and wouldn't be complaining if that was how it looked sometime on Saturday evening when you're looking at the box score of Auburn and Baylor. Akron covers their spread, but Wake wins it 38-16. Gio Lopez, again, another southpaw, throws for 350 in his new ACC debut.
Yeah.
For the Demon Deacons, Delaware. Nick Minicucci, baby.
300 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean,
that's
come
my guy.
On.
That's my guy. 42-7 over Merrimack. 20 of 36, 330 through the air, 2 tutties. It's my guy right there.
Beast.
Also had a rushing touchdown as well. 5 carries, 13
yards.
There you go. Ran one in.
Good for Delaware.
Good for Delaware. Good for the Minicucci's.
Good for the Minicucci mans. The Minicucci's men.
You're an Ella fella. I'm a
I'm
a Minicucci.
I'm a Minicucci man. Put it on a t-shirt.
I don't know about that. Kennesaw State blanks West Georgia.
Hootie ho.
Shout out Hooties. Yeah, 47-0. Buffalo has to survive Albany, which is...
Buffalo, I mean, they are a school that it's so interesting of them in the MAC because they're not as much as a geographical outlier as they used to be because of a new team that's a team that's in the MAC that we're going to talk about here in a minute. But good school, but since Lance Leipold left and Jarrett Patterson rushed for 7 touchdowns, they haven't done anything since.
No. Eastern Illinois and Minnesota. Minnesota! Wins at 59-7. The only keynote that I have on that side of things is Perry Thompson didn't record a grab. So
grass ain't always green.
Again, I didn't see anything injury wise, but there were 12 receivers that caught at least one pass, and Perry Thompson was not one of them. And so between that and was it Malcolm Simmons listed as wide receiver 3? In the Texas Tech,
yeah, well, like on the third team, effectively,
yeah,
not even wide receiver,
not
teams,
wide
like,
receiver three, yeah, on the third team,
yeah,
yeah. So again, do with that what you will. What do you want to start with? Which one would you rather dive into? I say we dive into the more surprising.
We're not going to mention Illinois UAB. I thought that's where we
fair.
Want to start there fair. Real quickly, just because it's an Alabama team. Before
I like
we,
it.
Yeah. I mean, Illinois 42, UAB 23. A little bit close at halftime. The debut of
Caitlin Hauser.
Had
the opportunity to be a lot closer at halftime. But
yeah.
UAB decided not to rush the quarterback. So he had 30 minutes to just sit back in the backfield and chuck one towards the end zone. And the Hail Mary was caught from 54 yards. Fighting Illini went at 42-23. But, yeah, you mentioned a really good performance from the Blazers. Ryder Burton went 18 of 31, threw for 219. They also ran for 194 yards. It was just more of the fact of defense couldn't really get a stop whenever they needed to. Illinois only had 17 first downs and only had 332 yards. But it just felt like every single one of those came on a big play.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. You know, maybe not the best debut for Mr. Alex Mortensen, the head coach at UAB, I believe.
Again, you were a 28-point dog and you lose by 19. Look at that on-air math, baby.
Mm.
I think Illinois' offense is pretty solid this year. So, yeah, Illinois wins at 42-23. Good call on that side of things.
Yeah, got to make sure we give our in-state team some love.
For sure. UMass and Rutgers, I feel like, is a solid place to start. Rutgers. A 29.5-point favorite.
The first game kicked off last night, and we joked, hey, man, halfway through the drive, you can watch that game if you want. Nothing's going to happen there.
You were 30-point favorites, and you scored 21 points. William Watson
well,
the third.
Well, here's the thing, Christian. You know, maybe they scored 21 points, and maybe they didn't cover, but surely they beat a UMass team that hasn't won a game in 600 days, right?
Surely they beat a UMass team that had 15 offensive touchdowns last season. Nope. UMass rolls. Looks really, really good, too. They went at 37-21. Again, I mentioned the name. William Watson III an absolute dude. Goes 19 of 22, 197 through the air, 3 touchdowns. Also, he adds 40 yards on the ground. UMass ran it 41 times for 200 yards. Time of possession, over 36 minutes.
Did Gus Malzahn get a UMass job that I'm missing here? Because watching that team and watching him, kind of a Gus offense.
It really did. We were sitting there watching like the third and fours, and it was like, you know, backed up in your own goal line. It's like, was that an RPO I just watched? And it picked up 12 and you moved the chains. It was like, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, looking at what they were able to do, I mean, William Watson III could be a guy to watch out for as like that Devin Dampier or that Diego Pavia, unfortunately, of like the guy at the G5 school that doesn't really win a ton, that suddenly they start winning and you're like, yeah, that guy's going to be on a Power 4 roster.
It's one of those guys
year.
It's like, thanks UMass for showing this guy to the rest of college football, yeah. As much as that sucks to say. Yeah, UMass wins it 37-21 on the road as 30-point underdogs taking on Rutgers. And I tell you what, we have one more game that we want to dive into, but I want to give Tripp a little bit more time to collect his thoughts. Okay. Want to give him a little bit more time to be able to feel the true feelings of what this game meant, be able to put that into words. We will take a break. We will come back, dive into what happened in Atlanta last night. Also take a look at some of the games going on tonight, as well as maybe some possible scares for another couple of teams that are big time underdogs, and how you're either going to a place or you're hosting a team that could make a little bit of noise in your home stadium. We'll talk about that to wrap up our number one right after this here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. A reminder, in hour number two, we're giving all of our week one picks. Not all of them. There'd be way too many. We do not have time for that. But the top games of the week, and then giving our final thoughts, our final predictions for all things Auburn and Baylor. So make sure you stick around for that. But while we have a few minutes here in hour number one, going to throw it to Tripp, because I just want him to be able to dissect and dive into a game that some people may have watched. Some people, first off, if you did watch it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there was a team that had to win, because
it's
kind of the way that you go. But desperation is a really weird thing in college sport, in sports in general, but in college sports, an offense that did absolutely nothing all night against an offense that didn't score a touchdown all night. Colorado drives down the field after a Georgia Tech field goal, after having
first and 10 on the 13 with a 2-minute warning.
I was going to say the 12 or the 13. So first and 10, ball spotted at the 13-yard line at the 2-minute warning. And we talked about it watching this game, how their lack of aggressiveness. And it was like, that could easily go back to haunt you. And
yep.
Did it?
It did, because Georgia Tech loses 14-13 to Colorado in Atlanta. Very bad game for first-year offensive coordinator George Godsey, former Georgia Tech quarterback. And he's kind of like the Mike Bobo hire for he's the Mike Bobo to Kirby Smart, or Brent Keith's Kirby Smart, rather. Because, I mean, they're buddies, they're best man at each other's wedding, and then you give them a job to be a play caller, and it didn't go well. I thought Alberto Mendoza shined, but the running game, which was the calling card of Georgia Tech's offense last year,
yeah,
I think they had like 40 yards all night, and the lines for their backup running back was over 40 yards. So
Georgia Tech ran it 30 times for 51 yards, 1.7 a pop.
Yeah, that's just not going to win you a football game. Colorado didn't play great either. You look at what Julian Lewis was able to do. I mean, he kind of grew up on that last drive. I can't lie,
yes,
there.
He did.
But just the fumbles, the amount of snaps that went to someone other than the quarterback because if they mistimed the snap or a ball popped out, was just gross. Neither team deserved to win this ball game. I'm really concerned for Georgia Tech and they have to come up and they got to go play Tennessee at home. They got to play them in Bobby Dodd Stadium. Mm. I think like week two or week three, mm-hmm. where it's just like they're staring down the barrel of a bad start when a lot of people had them as ACC underdogs. I didn't. I thought they would be a little bit better than this, but the defense played good. And then you have Aiden Burr miss 2 field goals. One he just hooked, another blocked. You don't score an offensive touchdown. So, I mean, I think they played well on defense. Yay.
they've got to get better, Christian. That was frustrating. Got a feel for the fam there. They were in Bobby Dodd, left a little early because of some high school football tonight for North Cobb Christian, taking on the rival Eagles in Mount Perrin. But just got to play better, got to be better, got to run the ball. You know, I don't understand how you can run the ball that poorly. It's legitimately, if you get the ball to the line of scrimmage and fall forward, that's 2 yards. if you're around 6 feet, Christian. But unfortunately, it just seemed like every play they ran was to the teeth of the defense. I would love to see their longest rush of the night, because it couldn't have been longer than 10 yards.
It was Justice Haynes, I believe, on the first drive of 11.
Gosh. So basically,
Georgia Tech ran it right through the teeth of the defense on that first drive.
Yeah, and then it was – so basically, Christian, what you're telling me is that they had 40 combined rushing yards the rest of the game. They had 20% of that on one play. Look at the math there. But just got to be better. Got to be better. You know what? Brent Key, I trust him as a coach. I'm not saying fire Brent Key, but, man, that offensive coordinator hire not looking great in hindsight. Hopefully Alberto Mendoza can continue to develop and to be a great quarterback. He played pretty good last night.
Wild that there were 19 incompletions. It felt like there were so many of them, but only 19 incompletions. But would you say 7 of them, if not more, were drops from both sides? If not, probably more than that.
I mean, it felt like
every single time you looked away from the screen, you looked back and the ball was on the floor, whether that was a fumble, whether that was a mistimed snap, whether that was a drop or an overthrow. Like, cleanliness was not the forefront of this football game.
You know what? It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, as long as one of the teams that I root for wins in Atlanta this weekend, I'm happy, and I'd rather it be the one on Saturday.
There you go.
Just putting it out there, guys.
There you go. Music about to kick us out of here. Any scare for Miami tonight?
I mean, I don't think so. I just had someone text me on the personal line asking me that, and I just say, like, look, they played good against Hawaii. Hawaii isn't great, but they're not bad. But Darian Mintz is Darian Mintz. Mark Fletcher is Mark Fletcher. Tony is Tony. I think Kane's win easily tonight.
Fresno State, one of the best pass defenses in the country, and an offense that absolutely bleeds the clock. A couple of good games coming up tonight, but we'll tell you where you really need to be on our high school side of things later.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
No more appetizers. College football week one Saturday is officially here, and we get to dive into all things here in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. A lot of fun was had in hour number one, and looking forward to doing the same thing here in hour number two. Appreciate Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com for joining us in hour number one. Appreciate Trip for holding it down while we were continuing to get things ready for our very fun drive to Canada here tonight. And so some great stuff on the high school side of things that we'll continue to dive into later on. Tell you where you need to be tonight while you're watching maybe some college football. Keep it on your radio stations for some high school football with Auburn High and Lee Scott Academy. But got to talk about that. Got to dive into all of the contests last night and kind of give our brief thoughts on some of the blowout games. Got to dive into UMass and Rutgers. Because what a contest that ended up being, although it wasn't scripted to go that way. Rutgers is 29.5-point favorite, score 21 points. And UMass looked really, really good with William Watson at the helm. We also got to talk about Dion in Atlanta. Tripp gave him his theme music in primetime, got the primetime win.
Okay.
On Thursday night.
I don't mind, you know, but I didn't give him his theme music. Congratulations. Let's see if you can survive this year.
Credit to him for cleaning the Georgia Tech locker room.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, you know, the teams that don't do that are just classless.
I agree.
But so good for Deion. I will give him credit for that.
Yeah, definitely. But talk about that, and then on the way out, talked a little bit about some of the games coming up tonight that we'll hit a little bit on. But again, more so talking about that full Saturday slate. No more cheese sticks. No more little queso dip. We got the full ribeye coming here this weekend for all things college football. And so
this is the sizzling fajitas.
These are the sizzling fajitas. These are the wings. These everything that just makes its way to the table when you're already like kind of full and you're like, I got to find room.
You got to find room.
But I happily will. And if I have to undo a couple of buttons on the way out and be wheelbarrowed out, then that's a fantastic problem to have. But all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center or wherever you get your podcasts. But primarily ESPNAU.com.
And looking at what's going on the rest of the day today, we'll talk about our high school coverage. Talk about the Lee Scott Warriors heading up to Randolph to play the Raiders in Huntsville, as well as Auburn High School heading down to Crampton Bowl to play Carver Montgomery. You're also look and see what happens with the game in Atlanta this weekend, and give our final thoughts before toe meets leather in Mercedes-Benz, as well as what's going on outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and what's going on in the college football world in week one. We'll make our picks and be able to do that. Phone lines, as we said earlier, are probably going to be closed today, but the text box is always open at 334-784-1OTL. The Send Medicine text box is brought to you by Send Medicine. There you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting Send Medicine. That's SENNmedicine.com. Again, no matter what stage of life you are, if you're just coming to college or you're just going to, you're here and you're being able to grow up and have roots here in Auburn, or if you're older and you are winding it down, Send Medicine is the place for you to get your health care and get that stuff taken care of, because there's nothing better for you than taking care of yourself.
One final shot. We talked about making our way up to Canada for high school football. Do you think I'll see the Colorado logo up there? Because
apparently it's well known.
It's a very well known logo, and
it's okay.
You know, are you happy to be here? Because I sure as hell am.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know what? I don't do Auburn Sports Talk Radio for the love of the game. I do it for the love of Auburn. And so we're going to sit here and we're going to be able to dive into these week one games and talk to you, get you ready for kickoff in Atlanta for the real team that we care about at 2:30.
Absolutely fantastic. Some of the games coming up tonight, UTEP and Oklahoma. I'm not going to ask you if Oklahoma is going to win that contest, but I will ask what you want to see from the Sooners. 40.5-point favorites. John Mateer leading the way for the Sooners club.
I mean, there's a lot I want to see from Oklahoma. I want to see them run the football. I want to see them defensively just impose their will. And I think they got to win in the trenches against the Miners of University of Texas El Paso.
Thank you. Interested to see what John Mateer looks like. Again, that revamped throwing motion after breaking his hand and what coming back to football like 17 days later. You could see that it had a big-time effect on him. And so what is a truly healthy John Mateer offense going to look like? Are they going to be able to run the football outside of John Mateer to where he can drop back in the pocket? Or if he wants to scramble, it makes it that much more effective rather than, yeah, we're just going to spy him, because that's basically going to be the only downfield running game. I think Oklahoma cruises in this contest. Yeah. I would take the points if I was really going to
indulge in that kind of degeneracy.
I'm not, but I like the points in general, too, rather than just Oklahoma. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Kansas, 43.5-point favorites at Long Island. Michigan State, only 10-point favorites hosting Toledo.
I mean,
can the Rockets get it done?
Toledo was one of the better teams in the MAC last season. I mean, I just believe in Pat Fitzgerald too much for them to lose that game. I'm gonna take Michigan State, but I mean, if this game is tied at halftime, this is another game that you send your friend and it's like, are you watching this game? You see the score right now? There's no way, right?
Looking at the first one on our college pick'em for On the Line, it's Miami and Stanford. Miami, a 24.5-point favorite. We still have a couple of our picks waiting to be put in here, but does Stanford have any chance? The Cardinal, after what you saw, the blown lead and then the come-from-behind victory against Hawaii, can they keep it close with the team from Miami, Florida?
I just think there's too much talent on Miami. You know, I think coaching-wise, it's closer because you know how I feel about the head coach of the Hurricanes. But I just think that Darian Mintz is too good. Mark Fletcher's too good. Malachi Toney's too good. I said it earlier to end the hour number one. Miami gets it done against Stanford. Isn't it at Stanford?
So
that could cause some problems with that.
Yeah, the historic ACC matchup.
Right. You know, that could cause some problems with a West Coast team traveling out or East Coast team traveling out West. But I just don't see a world where they are not a little prepared and they're able to get it done.
Yeah, I think Miami cruises in this game as well. I would also look at the over-under in that contest because I like points in that game as well. But again, just looking at the number, I mean, that's all that matters. Fresno State and USC, the 14th-ranked Trojans. Are they going to be hosting more than 5,200 people in the Coliseum tonight?
I mean, that's the big number to look out for. I'd like to hope so, but imagine if like Fresno State just drives down from NorCal and takes it over.
Be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic. I think that USC wins this game, but I think they're like 20-something point favorites. I would not be surprised if Fresno State, a team that's been pretty good in the Mountain West, now Pac-12 after dark.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Fresno State on the points, but I probably would take USC to win the game.
The only reason that I say that USC rolls in this is because everybody is on Fresno State with the points. You're bringing back one of the best pass defenses in the country. I believe 7 starters on your defense returning. And it's an offense that, again, I mentioned it in hour number one, absolutely bleeds the clock. And so if USC doesn't score in their first couple of drives, and it's one of those 10-7 Fresno State leads early in the second quarter, that's when things could be like, oh, okay. But if USC is able to score early and make it to where Fresno State's offense has to speed up themselves, I think that's when it could get a little bit out of hand. Fresno is not a state. So Southern Cal wins it, and I like points in that one, funny enough, as well. We work our way to Saturday. And again, some good time games. North Texas, Indiana. I think
they win that game pretty easily. I mean, there's what happens if, you know, you've already won it all? Do you still have that hunger? But I think that one of our good friends is going to be very happy with the result of that game.
Alabama and ECU. Again, this is a game that has been played in the past.
Alabama rolls. I think they cover. I mean, I like Keelan Russell. This is going to be the game where he's going to play well, and every single person in this state that's on the other side of the state is going to tell you that he's the Heisman frontrunner, despite the fact they're playing ECU.
I mean, you could go watch this game in Bryant-Denny for $11.
Huh. Checks out. They'll all leave by halftime anyway, so like, why not just get in for free?
ECU and Alabama, 11 o'clock, gets the afternoon started on ABC. You have Oregon State and Houston. You had some cool stats about this Oregon State team, a quarterback that Auburn fans may remember a little bit when looking at the Beavers over in Corvallis.
I'm very high on this Oregon State team, Christian. I like their quarterback, the former Mercer quarterback that played absolutely out of his mind. I think that this would be the great way to get the Pac-12 started out right. I know I'm for sure taking Oregon State plus 20-something, but I'm going to do it. Give me Oregon State.
Really?
Go ahead and throw something. Even if I'm wrong, I'd rather be wrong being a little bit controversial with these picks than be 100, like, kind of boring. It doesn't make for good radio, unfortunately. Give me Oregon State. I believe in this team. I'm going with my gut.
Oregon State to win it as 20.5 point dogs. I don't mind it. I wouldn't be surprised if I could see a little bit of offense from that Beaver squad.
I mean, Connor Wegman's good, and you know what they've been able to do in this this past couple years has been great. But like, what happens if it's a 1-year fluke? We don't know. I think Oregon State could be decent.
Working our way down to Boise State and Oregon. These are the 2:30 starts of the slate. That one on CBS. Oregon, a 24.5 point favorite, hosting what many consider, especially now, to be kind of that G6 favorite. A lot of people are on UNLV, but after starting 0-1, not a great look. And after staring down the barrel of possibly 0-2 this weekend, Boise State, does Maddox Mattson show up in Eugene?
He shows up and covers, but I'm taking Oregon to win that one. I think that Dante Morris is going to be too good. This is going to be a high-scoring game. Take the over.
I think I agree with that entire statement. I think Oregon looks really good. I think Jordan Davison, this would be one of those games that it's like Dante Moore is 13 of 18 for 180 yards, but their run game just really takes over. They have a couple of explosive big-time runs, and the box score may make it look as if it was a little bit more of a blowout than it actually was, but I like Oregon pretty comfortably in this contest as well. Another G6 team that has a little bit of a smoke behind it right now, Texas State. Brad Jackson leading the way for Texas State, going to, not too far, making their way to Austin, Texas. Again, 2:30 on ESPN. Texas, 30. Point favorites on this one.
I think Texas wins by 25. I think that Texas State does well, and you're gonna maybe have a quarter or a drive of like if Texas State scores first, like God, it's 7-7 like midway through the first.
Mm-hmm.
Texas rolls after that. The depth on that team is just too good.
This is one of those games that's you see the first half of Arch Manning, and it's like, okay, that's enough. Now let's just get the ball to every single back possible. And it's one of the, maybe it's 21-10 at halftime, and you go out and you score, make it 28-10, and then it really turns into the ball control. 30 points. I am surprised that the lines, it feels like they haven't changed, even with the changes of college football and the rules of like the clock doesn't stop when you run out of bounds, the clock doesn't stop on first downs, because we see it. I mean, 30, 40-point spreads. We saw both sides of that last night, but it feels very difficult against another competent offense that you're not only going to score 30, but you're going to beat another team by 30 points. And so I'll take Texas. I'll take Texas State to cover that contest, though, just because why not? But we'll be able to break that down, talk about Cam Coleman a little bit on Monday afternoon as well. We'll save Baylor and Auburn because we have our thoughts on the other side of the break. Tulane and Duke, any contest that Tulane on the road can go and get it done with a quarterback in era Duke, Darian Mensah-less Duke at the quarterback spot.
I think Duke wins and covers. I think that Tulane, I did not like the Will Hall hire. I'd really think that Tulane's going to have a really big step back this year, and you're going to be surprised by it. I think Duke wins this game in Durham. I don't see much issue there for the Blue Devils. Yes, you're breaking in a new quarterback. That's not great. Edgert from San Jose State, but I just think that they're going to be better, and I think they have a better coach in Manny Diaz. The defense is going to be great. Duke covers, probably wins this one like 21-7.
Probably get one more before we got to take a break, and we'll come back and continue on this before we dive into our final thoughts, our final predictions for Auburn and Baylor in the AFLAC kickoff game. A guy that we said we were not going to give him the attention and the drama that he has been asking for, but got to talk about the Battle of Death Valleys, Clemson and LSU. LSU double-digit favorites, favored by 10 in this contest at home. 6:30 kick on ABC in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. Does the new-look Clemson squad, can Dabo Sweeney, would this not be the Dabo Sweeney moment? Would this
be,
for no reason whatsoever, other than the godfather of college football, it feels like, of, okay, cool, you're going to take all of the drama, all of everything of college football offseason. Yeah, we're going to walk into your place and beat you. Would that not be storybook? And you feel like for the first time ever, all of college football, other than maybe those in Baton Rouge, would all fall in love with Dabo Sweeney.
The Empire strikes back. LSU wins. Clemson covers. I do like Christopher Vezina at quarterback, taking over for Cade Klubnik, but I just think LSU's defense is too good, man. Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, just phenomenal. Give me a LSU to win, but Clemson to cover in a low-scoring game.
Every part of me wants to pick Clemson in this game. I don't know if that is the heart pick in me, because you have your heart pick, but you also have the head pick as well. Every part of me wants to pick Dabo Sweeney to win this game, and I do think he has opportunities. And I don't even want to say that it's Sam Levitt, but again, I think it's the defense. So many question marks on that LSU side of things, but I'm going to have to unfortunately trust the Tigers at home. That might be the biggest reason, because for no reason other than that, everybody in Baton Rouge is going to be cheering for Lane Kiffin to get his first big-time signature win. We will take a break. We will come back and continue on with our picks here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Rolling along here in hour number two, giving our picks and predictions here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And we now work our way past the 8 o'clock hour into 9 p.m., where, again, we made some of the crazy realizations yesterday that of the six road favorites, three of them are on Saturday, and all of them are kicking off after 9 p.m. And we now work our way to that spot. And the first one, UNLV at Hawaii. 9 o'clock on the CW, Jackson Arnold, Micah Alejado, Hawaii back at home, UNLV on the road. But UNLV, a field goal favorite right now. Do you trust Jackson Arnold? Do you trust Dan Mullen to get back in the win column after a tough loss?
I think I picked Hawaii, and I'm going to roll with the Rainbow Warriors. I'm believing in Christian Griffin again this week. I can't quit on Christian. He tells it like it is and holds nothing back, as it's been said before. I think Hawaii is a decent team, and I think they get it done.
That's funny you think that I picked Hawaii again.
I don't.
After being hurt so bad in week zero.
Come on. You know you want to.
I do, in fact, go back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Not only to cover, I think Mike Alejado wins this football game. If I go 0-2, I may never pick Hawaii. I may never visit.
You live by the three, you die by the three. You live by Hawaii, you die by the Rainbow Warriors, people.
Yeah. And if they don't, you know what? I'll just never go to Hawaii. Take that, COVID. UNLV, I think, plays a good enough game to win.
Huh? Were you supposed to go to Hawaii during COVID?
No. You don't remember that, like, saying?
Thanks, COVID.
No. Take that, COVID.
No?
Oh.
Gotta say.
Sorry. I know I'm, like, 2 years older than everybody in this room, but I didn't know that that was
okay.
That big of a factor. I do think UNLV plays a good football game.
Yeah, no, for sure. High-scoring game. Over.
Give me Hawaii because they're back at home. Backs up against the wall if they want to make a little bit of noise. Give me the Rainbow Warriors outright. They win it. In the Ching Athletics Complex in Honolulu, UCLA in California, another game that a lot of people have begun talking a little bit about. UCLA went from a 1.5-point favorite to a 2.5-point favorite. Nico Iamaliava going on the road. People are expecting a lot of this UCLA offense in 2026. Are you buying in?
I'm buying in on Cal, baby. I like Tosh Lupoi to get this defense ready to go. Bob Chesney week one maybe could have some sparks there, but I believe in California's quarterback, JW or JKS. He is a phenomenal quarterback. Jerron Kawhi Sagapolote is a phenomenal quarterback.
I was surprised you chose to attack that.
I always have to choose to attack it. I mean, JKS is a phenomenal quarterback. We're going to have to be learning that name quickly if we want to be talking about him in the NFL.
Another lefty, huh? Another southpaw. This is one I honestly haven't given too much thought in. But give me UCLA simply because Harsin was at Cal. Why not? Yeah, sure.
There we sure, go. Sure.
Woo! I do think that Nico will play good. I like Wayne Knight in that backfield as well. I think that if UCLA can get an early lead and force Cal to throw the football, obviously it's something that they're perfectly fine doing, but more of by their choice. If UCLA can get up 10 scores and force the Cal offense to maybe force the ball a little bit too far downfield, try and make too many big plays at once, I'll take UCLA. Give me the road Bruins to get the job done at 9:30 on ESPN in that one. We work our way to Sunday. And no, we're not talking NFL games because we got four more throughout Labor Day weekend. Washington State and Washington real quickly in the Apple Cup. Does Wazoo stand a chance against?
They cover just because rivalry games were weird, especially in week one. Washington wins. Damon Williams is just a dog.
I think Husky Stadium rolls. I think Washington absolutely demolishes Washington State in that contest. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, NBC 6:30. Be careful. We may have a friend that's listening. This one in Lambeau. Are we going to see any Lambeau leaps by the Badgers or the conference-less Fighting Irish?
Give me the Fighting Irish. Roll CJ Carr coming out party, and we start having conversations on who's the next coach in Madison, Wisconsin. It's not Luke Fickell, unfortunately. He just hasn't proven it yet. I don't even know who their quarterback's supposed to be. Give me Notre Dame Fighting Irish, baby.
For some reason, when I thought you hesitated, I was like, oh, man, is it about to happen?
And it
was, no. As 20-point favorites, give me Notre Dame to win. Give me Notre Dame to cover in that contest. Again, I don't love it, but I felt confident in it, and so I'm not allowed to go and change it. I had Notre Dame winning my national championship. And so a lot of Notre Dame logos and a lot of Oregon logos by the experts. So take that for what you will, which makes me dislike my pick of the Fighting Irish and Marcus Freeman a little bit more. But we'll take that for what it is. Louisville, Ole Miss. The one ranked on ranked matchup here this weekend. ABC, a 6:30 kick in Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Ole Miss sitting right around a 6.5, 7.5 point favorite, depending on where you look. Call it a touchdown, if you will. We know a lot about the Ole Miss offense. Questions on what the play calling is going to look like, just in terms of if it's going to be a different look, if it's going to be a little bit of the same because of Chambliss, because of Kawan Lacy, or are we going to be sitting there talking about the run game for Louisville? Again, a couple of really big names in that backfield. You got Isaac Brown, arguably the best in the country. Can Louisville, which sounds crazy to say, but can Louisville get it done over Ole Miss?
I want to pick Louisville so bad in this game. I think that they're a dark horse in the ACC, especially with Georgia Tech not going to be an ACC contender this year. I love Louisville. I love Lincoln Clean-Holtz. I love Isaac Brown, the running back, and I think Jeff Brohm is one of the top play callers in the country. Y'all been talking about Kentucky all offseason. I've been talking about Louisville. But Trinidad Chambliss is too good. Kwon Lacy's too good. It doesn't matter who's calling plays. I just think that this team is going to be better in the trenches. Ole Miss wins it, but Louisville may give them a scare in Nashville.
Every part of me wants to sit there and go, the team that stops the run wins this game. That being said, I don't think Ole Miss can stop Louisville's run game, but I don't think Louisville can stop what Ole Miss wants to do on offense. And so I think I'm going to I have to lean the Rebels. This would not surprise me if this was a game that if you were a box score viewer, if I sat there and read the stats to you, you're like, yep, Louisville wins by 10. Yet somehow it's 31-24 in favor of Ole Miss. I could see that very easily being that type of game. But Trinidad Chambliss in the backfield, I will trust him to make the right decisions, especially late in the contest, especially when needed. If you could get like a game-winning drive or a game-winning stop, I'll take Ole Miss to win and to cover in that one as well. You work your way to Monday, the final game of week one. SMU and Florida State, 6:30 on ESPN. Doak Campbell might be full. SMU, we talked about it yesterday. Rhett Lashley may have just been speaking to the media, may have just been the coach speak, but he says, yeah, I don't know how we're favorites. I think we should be 7 to 10 point underdogs in this contest. SMU and Kevin Jennings worked their way to take on Ashton Daniels. And is this one of the hottest seats in the country, if not the hottest seat in the country?
And it continues. SMU, Rhett Lashley continues to prove why he's one of the most innovative minds in college football. Kevin Jennings outduels Ashton Daniels, and I think that officially you're getting concerned about Mike Norvell. Another bad start for Norvell. This is the second or third one in a row. Even with the FSU win over Alabama last season, they didn't really play great in the year. Give me the Mustangs. And they cover, too. I think that's just all coach speak.
When you look at what Rhett Lashley and Kevin Jennings want to do on offense, what is it?
They want to run the football RPO, quarterback zone reads and stuff like that.
And I think they want to get it. I think they want to get vertical. And Florida State's defense did not look very good defending the pass last week. I think Kevin Jennings has a fantastic night. 3 Bills in the future, maybe 2 touchdowns in there as well. I like SMU as well. SMU to win, SMU to cover, and yeah, Mike Norvell, that seat gets a little bit hot. But we've talked about enough games here this week, and we've teased enough of them. We've talked a lot about it.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
More more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line, counting you down closer to the weekend, counting you down closer to the start of high school football and Auburn football as well.
Bum. Let's go.
Keep going.
What do you mean?
I don't know. What was the bum?
I don't know. I don't know what I was trying to do there. I don't know what I was trying to do there. Okay.
I was trying to give you the floor.
Yeah. I mean, I could do like the war. They do like the when they run out in the field.
Oh.
I could do that, but like I don't want people to hear me do that on the radio, Christian.
Bum.
Turn me up.
Oh, man.
I'm just too fired up.
We got a full house in here, and this is not. I look around, and I just start laughing. We got B. Gerg over there in the chair. We got Caleb Robertson here with us as well, ready to hit the road for Lee Scott Academy football. And God, influence, man. I just look around and start laughing. It's a good problem, but a bad problem to have here this afternoon. Let's look to Atlanta at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. The AFLAC kickoff game. We've been able to dive into so much of this. It feels like every single wrinkle that could possibly happen in this contest we've been able to talk about on the show. It feels weird to say that like it's here. It's one of those people always talk about the like when you're going on a vacation, the getting there, like the arrival is so much fun that sometimes on vacation you're almost like looking at the end, like you only have two more days. It's the fact of like we've talked so much about the off season and now we're here. Week one, Auburn-Baylor. This is the matchup that so many people have just had their sights on for quite some time. And obviously this game getting moved from Jordan-Hare Stadium to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There were obviously a lot of complaints when it first happened. You take a look at the weather index, and I think some of those complaints have gone by the wayside. It's like, oh, I can go sit where it's 72 degrees, or I can go sit where it's 112. But again, you'd still rather it be in Jordan-Hare, but at least from the fan perspective. But still a great cause, man. We got to talk with David Epps, the CEO of the Peach Bowl, a couple of days ago yet again, and get his thoughts on the entire matchup and how it's working its way to fruition. And, you know, he's now seeing all of the plans and all of the structures that he's been working on for so long work its way. 2:30, maybe a little bit past the 2:30 hour. Auburn and Baylor. We'll wait to give our official pick here for a little bit, but what do you want to see? So we'll start offensively for this Auburn Tiger team.
I want to see offensively that Auburn can run the football and be confident enough to do it, right? And I know that sounds weird, but I think last year, Auburn refused to run the football. Auburn refused because of the play-calling ego of Hugh Freeze, let's just call it what it is, that Auburn was not willing to do what it took to win on the offensive side of the football. And what it takes to win on the offensive side of the football is to run the football. You can see across probably 90% of college football games, unless you're watching a prime Mike Leach offense, you have to run the ball to win the football game. It can't be one-dimensional. I believe in Byron Brown enough to throw it and have these passing concepts ready to go with his receivers. Can this running game take over and force Baylor to stack the box, which will allow Byron Brown to take the top off this defense?
Yeah, I want to see continuity, right? Whether that's with the offensive line, the quarterback, the receivers. We've been able to talk so much about the offseason of this Auburn team is in a unique spot in a transfer portal era, because this isn't the plug and play for, okay, we have our team, but we need a quarterback. We have our team, but we're going to go add a slot receiver. This is a transfer portal offense, and it's a transfer portal coach that worked his way with the team, or I guess the team worked away with the coach, but just for the sake of this conversation, you're not having to learn an entire new system. And I think that a lot of that you see in week zero and week one. Look at the miscommunications we saw last night in Tech and Colorado. Again, yeah, we talked about it. The missed time snaps, the wrong routes, the miscommunications defensively and not being able to capitalize. I don't think that you're going to see a whole lot of that. I guess I should say I hope that I don't see a lot of that offensively for the Tigers, because, again, you're not having a quarterback learn a new system. The offensive line, at least the majority, know what the snap count looks like. Know what Byram sounds like when he's barking commands in the shotgun. The receivers have now run so many snaps with him, whether that was at South Florida, whether that's now over the spring. I think if you can see continuity in a fluid type of offensive system, a balanced type of system, and how rewarding would it be? We continue to use the rewarding, refreshing, satisfying, whatever you choose to use. because I don't think that Dave Aranda is going to sit in a too high shell Saturday.
And I think that you also, people are not realizing this, and I think it's like, they just need to run the ball again. Do exactly what you did last year against Baylor.
It's not going to work like that.
It's a new defensive staff.
It is. It's going to be a new defensive identity.
Right. Maybe when the defensive coordinator formerly at Baylor, Ron Roberts, looked for that for the Arkansas game. Save that stuff away there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a lot of Auburn fans need to realize it's a new defensive coordinator. Dave Aranda is going to make adjustments because he knows Alex Golish wants to run the football. I agree with you that continuity is also very important because at the end of the day, you're only as good as you are from play to play. You can't just have one good play to start a drive and then bad the rest of the drives.
I mean, how many times did we see that with Auburn where it's like you get a first down on the first play of the drive and you go from the 25, now you're up to the 37, and you basically go four and out. Like, that's basically what we've seen for so long. So, yeah, so continuity, because, again, taking what the defense gives you, how rewarding, how refreshing would it be to be able to look up at this game and go, man, look how many times the defensive game plan changed. It started with Byron Brown forced to throw the football. Okay, that first drive, he goes 5 of 6 for whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden Aranda's sitting there going, well, what am I supposed to do now? Do I go back to what we did last year? And you start to see some of those changes. Now all of a sudden the quarterback run, the RPO, the zone read works its way into effect, and then things just slowly start to roll, and then Aranda's sitting there going, yeah, we don't know what to do. I would love to see something comparable to that offensively. Defensively, I want to see guys get after the football. I am so excited to see this defense. The amount of freedom that DJ Durkin allows these guys to play with is absolutely insane. And I know that this secondary is still very young. I said that I don't necessarily worry about the deep game. I worry a little bit about Baylor's intermediate passing game just because of Auburn's linebacker core. They're so good at run coverage or run stopping that sometimes right behind the linebackers you could get open. You got to be the ones to make the open field tackles if you are those DBs, because the 6-yard slant could turn into a 50-yard touchdown if you break a tackle or two. But I am not worried about this defense and Baylor running the football. I've tried sitting there going, but what if Baylor all of a sudden brings out some sort of wrinkle and next thing you know, they have 120 rushing yards at halftime? I just don't see it.
This is going to be a definition of a game where DJ Lagway is going to have to play like DJ Lagway should play. And I know that sounds weird, but like,
it sounds risky to say it like that, but it's like,
you don't have a ton of returning receiver talent. You don't have a ton of returning rushing talent. A little bit new up front. And Lagway's got to be the guy that everything flows through. It can't be a game where I think Sawyer Robertson, who was fantastic as a quarterback, it was Bryson Washington. It was this running game. It was Michael Trigg. And that team really played through Sawyer Robertson, not because of Sawyer Robertson. And that's what DJ Lagway has to do, is the opposite of it's got to play through Lagway.
And I don't think that I think you send pressure at Lagway, especially again in the second half. You force him to try and speed up, and that makes things just that much easier. But I don't necessarily think that you send the house trying to bring him down. And I know that sounds great, but you're almost playing for the force him to get rid of the football, the coverage sacks if you need to, because I think the one way that Lagway could hurt you that's not necessarily expected is on a couple of big scrambles if he's able to break contain. That being said, Champ Anthony this week said it best. Yeah, we got 17 on the defensive side of the football. And if for some reason their quarterback breaks the pockets, we know that X is going to go get you. And that's basically how it works. Xavier Atkins, the best spy in college football. And I've talked about this so many times of, if you could give me 10 on 10, you take out the quarterback and you take out Xavier Atkins, who do you trust more in this contest when Baylor has the football? If you're telling me it's not the Auburn defense, you're wrong. Auburn's defense, I think, plays a very, very solid game. I think they play very sound. I do think DJ Lagway has a solid day simply because of the bend don't break DJ Durkin mentality. But if you can force Baylor to threes, I don't know how they keep Auburn out of the end zone.
For me, for the defense, I want to see turnovers. And this is a defense, keep in mind, they led the SEC in turnovers last season. 11 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles going into the Iron Bowl last season, according to AuburnTiger.com. They had a plus 11 turnover margin, which is crazy to think about a little bit.
I believe it finished plus 9.
Still, I want to see Auburn win the turnover battle. I know that's also on the offense, but defensively is where you get those turnovers and you get those wins doing that. I want them to force DJ Lagway to rely too much on his athleticism and force the ball into tight spots, force the ball where he probably shouldn't, especially if it's with the game on the line. I want Auburn's defense to give their offense more possessions, because even if the offense is not clicking to start out with, eventually, with given good field position and enough time, this Alex Golich offense should work, and I think that they're going to be able to do that. It's got to start with the defense giving the offense opportunities with turning the ball over or getting three and outs.
If you had a realistic, I don't want to say game plan, because that's kind of what we're diving into now, but if there was a realistic way for this game to go that would give you the most confidence, and again, I there's a lot of ways to go with this, and I don't mean, yeah, Auburn wins it 59-3. Like, obviously, that would be the answer, but realistically, if there's a plan that this game were to follow, for you to have a lot of confidence on Saturday evening to come back and talk to it on Monday, what would that look like despite maybe a score on the field?
Funny enough, I want Auburn to get punched in the mouth. And I want Auburn to respond. I want Auburn to go down 7 points, or maybe not 14, because I don't know if my blood pressure can handle that. But I need Auburn to something to not go right and Auburn figure it out.
Yeah.
Auburn
not flinch.
Auburn, a penalty doesn't go their way. They may throw a pick on the first drive of the game. You know, something happens where Auburn goes down, and where you're at that point of, man, this is just Jabba, just Auburn being Auburn, guys, and we're going to lose this game, and all this national hype, we're right back to square one. There are more questions than periods in what's going on in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then either this offense figures it out, you see a long drive from Byron Brown to score, to tie it or take the lead, you see this defense start to pitch shutout drive after shutout drive, disrupting DJ Lagway, and you look at the end of the game and you go, man, you do something Auburn didn't do last season. They figured it out. They took what was happening and adjusted. Didn't see that well enough in any games last season, even with the defense, because the defense didn't have to adjust. They just played good football. I want to see Auburn have to adjust, get punched in the mouth, and respond. And that's going to give me a lot more confidence versus like a blowout win where it's like, maybe Baylor just wasn't that good. Both teams play well, but Auburn plays better.
The captains were released not too long ago for the Tigers. Champ Anthony, Cole Best, Byron Brown, Cade Carlson, and Elijah Melendez will be leading the Tigers out onto the field, out into the coin toss. And so, again, I think that's a pretty solid group, a pretty dang good group to be able to lead your Tigers on the field in Atlanta, 2:30. Man, we're so excited for it. If I had the realistic way that this game were to go, I would love to see Byron Brown air the football out in the first half and it work its way to where, okay, it's 14-13 or it's 13-10 or something like that at halftime. Auburn's able to get up by two scores, and we talk all about the tempo that this team works with. If there's one thing that I want to see, because it did not happen last season, Auburn has a lead late in the third, early in the fourth. Give me a 7-minute drive to go ice it, find your way just into the
death
end zone.
March.
You're up by 7, you're up by 3, and it's literally, okay, there's 10:58 to go. Auburn's up 23-20. All of a sudden, oh, there's now 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, and Auburn's now up 30-20. Just one of those, we're going to do what we want, and as fast as this offense works, let's slow it down. Let's control the clock, control the tempo, and maybe, again, you even have a penalty that doesn't go your way on that drive, but your ability to overcome all of that in one possession, in one drive, to where Baylor doesn't have a chance, and all of a sudden you sit there and you go, holy cow, every single question mark that we had was answered right there. If I could have one thing that would happen, it would be that right there. Impact players, real quickly, before we head to break.
I really like both Xavier Atkins is going to play well, and I think Jeremiah Cobb reminds me why he's one of the best in the SEC.
I'm really excited to see Christian Neptune and Chaz Nimrod. I think Jeremiah Coger's going to have a good game. I think Keyshawn Singleton's going to have a good game. But you need a couple of those other guys to step up, and I think that would be what you want to see right there. We will take our break. We will come back, plug our high school coverage, as well as tell you everything you need to know about this weekend and give our final picks, our final score for Auburn and Baylor when we come back and wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. A good time here in the studio this afternoon. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. And the time is almost here. But first, we got business to take care of on Friday nights here tonight before we work our way into Saturday. My friend, plug all of your high school stuff with Auburn High School here coming up tonight.
The Auburn High Tigers head down I-85 to Crampton Bowl to take on Carver Montgomery. Jack Hood and Carson Meyer and myself on the call. We'll have Brandon Gurgley in the studio running the board for us, as well as Ethan Compton and Dylan Podemski running the cameras for us there. Check us out, Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, the Radio Alabama app, or video on AHS Mass Media YouTube. And come and join us if you're not going to be heading up to Randolph School with you, Christian.
Yeah, we're putting miles on the Kia here this afternoon, this evening. Lee Scott Academy taking on the Randolph Raiders in their first region matchup. The ability to turn the page and put the frustrations behind them, because I guess that's the very good side of not or playing some non-region games to get the season started. You now work your way to the first region contest of the season over at Randolph School in Huntsville, Alabama. You can check that out at AU100.3, auhits.com, and that Radio Alabama app. The YouTube and Facebook live stream will be up and rolling as well. Myself and Caleb Robertson going to be on the call. Pre-game starting at 6 with kickoff at 7. Really, really proud of what we're able to do on the high school side of things. I love the fact that Lee Scott's been so involved with this as well, with our senior spotlight, the look around Lee Scott Academy. And so if you have the chance here this afternoon before kickoff, tune in anywhere from 6 to 7. We're going to be able to take you up until kickoff with the broadcast open, the game open, everything in between that side of things. And so Lee Scott Academy looking to pick up their first win of the season. And what better way to do that than to start region play 1-0 with the Randolph Raiders.
Yeah, region play. And this is where it matters. I don't think that I have to say that any more clearer than that. It matters to y'all getting that first win, but also getting that first region win. You can forget Glenwood and Lochapoka happened in terms of playoff standings, because this is when it counts. The Raiders got to get raided by the Warriors. Meanwhile, Auburn trying to get over 500, heading down to Crampton Bowl. Carver Montgomery, the Wolverines, hoping to get declawed by the Tigers.
Bum.
Bum.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Had to do it. All right, partner. It's time. Auburn and Baylor. 2:30 in Atlanta. Alex Golish, game one as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Your thoughts real quickly.
I think that Auburn will win this football game. I think Auburn plays well. It's not going to be a high-scoring game. I don't see a shootout, even with two really good quarterbacks. I think that Auburn, it's a close one, but they pull away late. I think a double-digit win is a very big possibility. Give me Auburn winning this one. I'm going to go 27-17. I think that you see Alex McPherson kick a couple field goals, and Auburn is able to put some points on the board. DJ Lagway, them move the ball, but I think Auburn goes down. Again, like you said, they're up 7 or they're up 3, and they go down and get a big scoring drive late to kill the clock.
Looking at this, every part of me and the Auburn side of me wants to fear everybody penciling in the Auburn Tigers for this.
Which is scary.
It is. It is. Because it's been, man, nobody's given Baylor a chance in this game. And I do think that DJ Lagway plays really, really well in this contest. But I just can't go away from the feelings that we've had all offseason. And even more so, man, you felt this way before you had the confidence in what this team has looked like throughout fall camp and what this team has looked like going into the mock week. Auburn's up 14-10 at half.
Oh, goodness.
Both teams score out of the break. Baylor kicks 3. Auburn scores 7. Makes it 21-13. Whether that's Auburn gets the football back, Baylor gets the football back, whatever the case may be, Auburn either gets a stop or when they get the ball back, they go and score again. Makes it 28-13. Baylor goes down. Start of the fourth quarter. Scores. They realize, okay, we got to find a way to make this a true one-score game. They go for 2. They don't get it. Makes it 28-19, and there goes that drive that I talked about. Midway through the fourth quarter, give me a 6-minute touchdown drive. Auburn marches down the field. Auburn wins at 35-19.
Wow, there you go. How about it?
How about it, baby? How about the boys in Atlanta?
Hey, and you get the NIL money, and that leather helmet's going to look so great over Alex Golish's head.
And it's going to look fantastic. Hopefully the desktop version is of ours as
well. Come on, fingers crossed.
We need it to happen.
Fingers crossed.
Need it to happen. Auburn-Baylor, Wings 94.3 is where you need to go if you're not making your way to Atlanta. We're so excited for the start of college football season. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. And sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back on Monday to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.